Before Gary comes up, I want to give you the introduction to his sermon. I have no idea what he's going to preach. I open up again to Matthew chapter 4. I'm not going to take long. What I'm going to give you, something clicked with me as I was sitting right there that Pastor Bronk was going over. And I'm just going to give you this little brief nugget. Those of you that are preachers, you take it home, pray it out, and deliver it to your church. Now, seriously. Because it goes along with some of what Gary's been sharing this week about, you know, these people out there that are twisting Scripture and all this other. In Matthew chapter 4, here's Jesus. He's out there in the wilderness, fast, verse 2, 40 days, 40 nights. Verse 3, the tempter shows up, the devil. Says, you know, you're the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And Jesus says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So the devil begins to think about this. He says, huh, okay. So in verse 5, he takes him to the holy city, sets him on the pinnacle of the temple, and says, if you be the Son of God, cast yourself down, for it is written. So if you're going to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, fine. Here's one to live by. He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. So Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone. The devil says, okay, then fine, live by the word of God. Here it is. I'll quote Scripture to you. Now, what the devil quoted from him is in Scripture. Psalm 91, go back and read it. The problem is, he took it out of context. It's not about jumping off things. It's about if something happens and you trip and you fall, God will protect you. But Satan took the word of God that Jesus said, I'm not moved by what I feel or see. I'm only moved by the word of God. I live by the word of God. He said, all right, well, here's the word of God. But Jesus understood the difference. And if we don't understand the difference, we won't know when Scripture is taken out of context, and we'll hear people preach things to us, and we'll make a decision to live by it, even though it cannot be lived by because it's the Word of God taken out of context. Brother Gary, come and teach. Hallelujah.
You still got it open to Matthew 4? This is really the exhortation, and everything really is right along the lines of the teaching today anyway, which is going to be getting to know your Father. And how do you walk as a non-human in a world of humans? How are we supposed to function as offspring of the living God? We're in the world, but we're not of the world. So while we're here, and that exhortation is fresh on your mind, and I feel sorry for the people that maybe didn't get to hear that. So in a nutshell, let me say, Bronk exhorted over the offering, and he said he was... One of the first things you've got to learn as a child of God is quit making your own bread. Quit turning... You have a provider now. You're going to walk a different path than the world walks. It doesn't mean we don't have a job. It doesn't mean that we don't sow and reap. It doesn't mean that we don't take care of the things that need to be taken care of. But it does mean your job is not your source. Your fields are not your source. We do all of those things, but we don't panic when the pink slip comes, because that job was not our source in the first place. And we'll get to that in more detail in a minute, but I got to go one more here, see? What just happened previous, Matthew chapter 3, Jesus just got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And I went through that the other day when I taught, how that the Father received that baptism when John the Baptist laid him down in the water. It was a vow. Jesus was saying, I know why I'm here. Father, I'm vowing to you this day. I'm going to go all the way to death. I'm going to do what you sent me here for. And the Father has this capacity to look on the heart. And he looked on Jesus' heart and he said, he's really going to do it. So in heaven, God received that baptism as the accomplished fact of Jesus' death. The gavel came down in heaven, and for all legal purposes, the first Adam was dead. And God was now free to change dominion, In other words, he had given Adam dominion, but now that Adam is dead, because of that vow, that finished work of Jesus, now the Father is free to reassign that dominion again. That dominion here is represented by the Holy Ghost. Now, I said all that to say this. And I have to be careful of the prophet rocks here. You got to remember, I know Jesus is God in the flesh, but I also know that he laid down his divinity. He did not function in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as God. He functioned as a man with the life of God in his spirit, anointed by the Holy Ghost. Now, here's the thing. Here comes the prophet rocks. What if the devil had come before that baptism and tempted Jesus to turn stones into bread? He couldn't have done it. If he could have, he's operating as God in the flesh. And it plainly says he is our pattern. That's why you don't see, for all of his lifetime, about 30 years, walking through Nazareth, going about his daily business, walking right past blind people, lepers, children with all kinds of birth defects and everything. His heart had to just be so wanting to do something. But why didn't he do something? He couldn't. He couldn't. Not until he received this Holy Ghost, which we're going to talk about today. This baptism in the Holy Ghost. The first temptation is one step worse. And that's, are you going to use the genuine anointing of God for your own personal profit? Many fall right there. It's the genuine anointing of God. Are you going to use it for your own profit? Or are you going to use it as the Father directs? That was a good message. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you right now, those of you that are in ministry, and all of you really are, whether you're in the fivefold or whatever, you're ministers wherever you are, you're going to face that temptation. And especially the more that you begin to co-labor with the Holy Ghost and learn how to hear the Father, trust me, that's not a one-time temptation. And you're going to face it again and again. But I have confidence, and the Lord has confidence in you. You're going to overcome him the same way Jesus overcame him. I live by every word of God. I do what my Father says. I hear him and I do what he says. And that's where safety is. Amen? Yes. Since you mentioned the face-to-face, I double-checked to make sure how to get to that at my website. I haven't been there myself in a while. You go to GaryCarpenter.org. GaryCarpenter.org. I tried to get com also when we first set up the website, and a musician named Gary Carpenter already had that. So that's why we don't have GaryCarpenter.com. But we have GaryCarpenter.org, and on the home page, which thank God we finally updated the picture, it looks like me again. One of the little buttons you can press there is media. You press media, then there's a list of categories, and one of them on the right hand side says face-to-face. Now, when you go to face-to-face, we have it there in every form that you could want. It's there in written form and PDF files. I also have narrated all of those. I've spoken them into recorders and put them in MP3 format. So you can download them onto your iPhone or iPod or whatever you have and listen to them. Now, just so you'll know, there's been, I don't want to exaggerate, I started to say hundreds, there have been at least dozens and dozens more of those over the years. But those are the ones that I have permission from the Holy Ghost to share with the entire world. Everything in there applies to you. Do you hear me? Everything in there, it applies to you as much as it does to me. Now, many of them since do not. He's a very personal walk with you. And he likes to come and have face-to-face encounters with you and spend time and talk with you about your Sears bill or whatever it is. That's the jacuzzi times, okay? And by the way, it's as I listen talk about worship and how wonderful it is, I agree with that. And if we had a pure blood evangelist walk in right now, he would just scold all of us really bad. You know, there's different callings in the body. Is that right? You know, and if you're a pure blood evangelist, I mean, that's what you are to your socks. You know, he'd walk right in. He'd go, "What are you people doing in here talking? Doing all this singing and this worship and this praying. We got people dying and going to hell right down here on Granger Hall right now. You come with me. We're all going to go down here passing out tracts." And he would guilt you into it. I'm not an evangelist. I'm a teacher. The guy who led me to the Lord, Michael Muccio, that guy can win more people to Jesus by accident than I can on purpose. He just has the gifting for that. And people just listen and they want to hear about God with him, you know. And he'll lead them to Jesus. I am a teacher in the body. I thank God for all five, what do you call them, the five biggins? The fab five. The fab five. I thank God for all five limbs, all five of those. But they're all important. I thank God for worship. And probably of the five, that's probably the one that I'm the weakest in. I intend to change that. But see, what about His Word? I didn't get saved in a worship meeting. He sent His Word. I heard His Word and got saved. When I had melanoma cancer, they gave me 6 months to live. Buddy, I needed His Word. It was His Word that healed me. Amen? Now, I love then praying in tongues. I wouldn't be in ministry today without praying in tongues. So all of them are important. And so I love, don't dismiss any of them. Don't get, I kind of want to go ahead and say it, don't get overbalanced on any of them. Okay, do them all. Do them all. Amen? All right. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Open your Bible somewhere, it doesn't really matter, it's all good. No, let's go to John 17 again. Now, for time's sake, I'm just going to quickly review, because it's been a couple of days now since we taught, and I want to really pick up where we left off, but some are not even here when we did that first service, so I want to get them caught up and get our minds going down this path again. So I'm just going to quickly look at a few things, because we want to get into knowing our Father better. It's hard to work with somebody you don't know. And you know, the thing of it is, you can think you know them pretty well. Again, that analogy of Sue, which, by the way, I mentioned, you know, how I love chocolate. But a lot of people, you know, they've met Sue, they've heard her laugh, they may have heard her tell jokes, and they think, "Oh, I know Sue." But if they go and buy her chocolate, I know that they don't know her very well, because Sue doesn't like chocolate. I like chocolate. Sue likes Skittles. I told that, you know what was at my door the next day? A Hershey bar and a bag of Skittles. I walked in the motel room and I'm saying, "Sue, chocolate." She went, "Ooh, Skittles." You guys are something else. I just love it. But to know Him. So anyway, we're going to move along today. You ready? Get your finger. We're going to look at some scripture. Do finger exercises. You ready? All right. Okay, here we go. John 17. Look at verse 3. What is eternal life? "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Now, I made this statement, and I think it preaches pretty well. A lot of people have eternal life in their spirit, but they're not really living life eternal. Every day is a little miserable. Every day is, they don't really know the Father very well. And when it comes to the decisions of life, it's like, I know Sue and I walked like that for years. We loved God. We were involved in prison ministry. We were doing all these different things. But we really didn't know much about the leadership of the Spirit. So we were just doing all of these things and hoping some of it was in His will. You know, there's a vast difference between that walk and really learning the voice of your Father that comes really through the mind of Christ by the agency of the Holy Ghost. Boy, there's just a vast difference when you really know Him and can hear Him. Okay, I got to move on here. Look at verse 16. I just want you to see again, "You are not of the world. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." When you got born again, That life that came on the inside of you did not originate on this planet. Once you're born again, you're no longer a child of Adam. You're no longer a descendant of the human race, really. Only your flesh is. That life that came on the inside of you originated from God the Father. Jesus is your Adam. God is your Father. The life that's in you came through the second man, the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look to somebody and say, I'm not of this world. All right? Now come on down to verse 22. This is review. Jesus says, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. And for years and years, I had no idea what that glory really was. I really didn't until Pastor Dave took us all down the Born Again Trail. And I want to put in a commercial right here for the Born Again Trail. The Born Again Trail is 6 volumes, 10 messages in each volume. Pastor Dave taught them. They are the Rembrandt, the Picasso. If you have not heard the Born Again Trail, once this conference is over, you really have nothing else to do. You need that. Can I get any witnesses? Amen. Those that have been down it, okay? And there's just no words to describe the revelation knowledge. That is, you will not be the same person once you really understand the born-again trail. All right. I didn't know what that glory was. I said, you know, what in the world? And then finally, Pastor Dave broke it for us. He said, what made Jesus, of all the people on planet Earth, what made him unique before the cross? What made him distinguished from everybody else? He was God's Son. He had the life of God. The life in him was birthed of God. And that glory that he had when he was on this planet, he was the only begotten at that time before the cross. But the glory that he had, being the Son of God, he has given us that same glory. When you got born again, he has given you the glory of sonship. And you have the same standing with the Father as a son. Full heir, joint heir with Jesus Christ. But I double dog dare you to go to the churches Jim and I grew up in. Tell the pastor you have a message for the congregation. Get up there in the pulpit and say, I just want to tell you, I have the same glory as Jesus. You're about to get run out of town on a rail. And that's what religion will do to you. Okay, now go to 1 John. We've got to kill you before we can raise you from the dead. First John chapter 4, Lynn's favorite verse. If we had a theme for the conference, this would probably be it. Look at verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love, and you could say mature, fully grown, fully manifested love, casts out fear. Because fear has torment. He that feareth is not yet made perfect in love. That love of God is so beyond human love. In this very church, Pastor Dave had an encounter again that he's mentioned during this conference. It was a year or two ago. I don't remember exactly. But he had finished the service and gone back there in the pastor's room, and in there by himself, he says he had a full minute in that perfect love of God. When that love was on him, he said, like, every kind of fear left. He said in his mind, he was thinking, we're going to go to St. Jude's Hospital. Where the little children, you know, they're all, the devil's got them with cancer and all kinds of stuff. He says, I wasn't going to pray for them. I wasn't going to that hospital to pray for the children. He said, without any doubt at all, I was going to empty that hospital. Bring every child out whole. That is our revival. And I don't think we'll ever be there without fully manifesting, fully going into this love of God. Or at least going a lot further into it than we are now. Now there's danger there. It stunned me, knowing the foundation that Pastor Dave has of revelation knowledge from 40 years in ministry. This man's, his understanding of Scripture just is astounding. And he says, he tells it of himself. He says, when I first tasted the true love of God, how much He loves us. He says, even in Him, he said, he was thanking God for every brick in his foundation, every revelation knowledge that he had, because he said, suddenly it was easy for me to see how these guys would get off into, what do you call it, universalism and like, well, how could anybody wind up in hell when God loves us so much? He said, it was easy for me to understand how deception could come in at that point and get you off. He was thanking God for every revelation. In fact, he says, really, God kind of had to shut the door for a little bit. He had to pray a little more until he could get past that. That love is exactly where we're headed. And we're not... See, God has power, but the Bible never said God is power. God operates by faith, but the Bible never says God is faith. It says God is light, God is love. Well, to know Him, we're going to know love. Because that's who He is. All right, now, go to Matthew 6. And put a marker in Luke 11. We're getting close now to where we finished the other day. Matthew chapter 6, for years and years, was a chapter that... let's just say I have a lot of experience with Matthew chapter 6 because the teaching that surrounds the Lord's Prayer here has to deal with you understanding who your provider is. Now, for those that were not here, pinch together now those two places, Matthew 6 and Luke 11, because we're going to be going back and forth between them. I've got to go fairly quick today because I know some things He wants to do. All right. First off, I want you to notice that the Lord's Prayer is in both of them almost word for word. Look at Matthew 6. We'll just pick it up here in verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray you, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. All right, hold your place there. Come right over to Luke chapter 11. They asked the Lord to teach them how to pray. Starting in Luke 11 verse 2, and He said unto them, When you pray, say, here it is, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Does that not sound like the same prayer? But now, flipping back to Matthew 6, when He says in Matthew 6, give us this day our daily bread, you can tell from the context of the teaching in the rest of the chapter, that daily bread He's talking about there is your provision. For example, come on down to verse 24. No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. I'm going to pause there for a moment for emphasis. He does not say you can do it with great difficulty. He does not say it's really hard, but you can manage to serve them both. No. You can't serve both. You're going to spend your life serving one or the other. How many of you want to serve God? Raise your hand or I'm going to have an altar call right now. Well, me too when I was reading this. See, I want to serve God, you know. Well, how then do you serve mammon? Well, let's read on. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? You know, in plain English, that's a little King Jamesy. Plain English, you know how we'd say that today? Quit worrying about your clothes and food. Wait a minute. You mean when I spend time worrying and planning and contriving, making sure all my daily needs are met, that's how I'm going to spend my life serving mammon? I thought it was by robbing banks. No. And it gets more clear as he goes down through here. He says, the whole Gentiles, the whole world that doesn't know God, from the birth to the grave, this is pretty much what their life is about. What are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? What kind of house are we going to live in? How are we going to educate our kids? That was Gary. I mean, that was so exactly me before Jesus. You know, we lived in the right kind of a house in the right part of town. We drove the right kind of cars. I had Sue and I were sold real estate, and plus I managed a real estate office with 60 agents, and I got a little piece of everything they did too. And I had a construction business, not as big as Bronx, but I had a small construction business on the side. We were doing pretty well, you know. And all of my thinking, all of the time, every decision I made had to do with what kind of house we're going to live in, what kind of cars we're going to drive, all of the things that have to do with this world. And you can spend your whole life, and I'm telling you, Christians can spend their whole life pretty much consumed with that path. They give God a tip every Sunday. I know I didn't say that out loud. Well, verse 26, let's go on here. He says, now, behold the fowls of the air. And I don't think it's by accident he chose these words. For they sow not, neither do they reap. Anyone ever hear of sowing and reaping in the body of Christ? I was so brainwashed after I got saved by the TV preachers that I thought my whole provision was based on my sowing and reaping. And I think Jesus knew this day was going to come. I don't think he chose that by accident. Now, it also obviously means sowing in a field, you know, like a farmer making a living with farming. Is farming okay? Sure, we're to farm. Let's say it this way. We are to have good jobs. We are to be productive citizens. The point he's trying to make, your job never is your source. You have a father. When you get a pink slip, the first thought in your mind is, nothing takes my father by surprise. A pink slip meaning you're laid off now. This is your last paycheck. And you don't know where the next job's coming from. For when we get our brain conditioned to know our father, our first thought when they hand that is, nothing takes my father by surprise. I may not know where my next job is, but he knows where it is. I bet it's better than this one. You know? That's the kind of attitude he's trying to get us to have here. Not to worry. Not to spend our lives. We have been snatched out of the world for the purposes of the kingdom of God. That's why this teaching ends with, you seek first the kingdom of God. You find your place in it. You find out what it is your father wants you doing and be about that and his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. Honey, there's going to be another job. He knows you need a car. He knows you need all of these things. The problem is we get to thinking our supply on earth is our source. God's got plenty of jobs. I'm telling you, he has your face on the palm of his hand, it says. You know, he's called the God that's more than enough. He's called the God that answers before we call. Did you know Sue is the Mimi that answers before Lily calls? We had grandparents here. I mean, in the closet, I've already seen Lily's next pair of shoes. It's already bought. It's already there. Got your next job's already in the heavenly garage. You're like with your bicycle. He knows what you have need of before you ask him. And he's the God who answers before you even call. Why do we worry? See, and until we get to that place where you can trust him, yes, sir, I'll do that. Let's read a little bit more here. Then I'm going to get, he brought some examples. Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap. They don't gather into barns. Remember I was telling you the other day how often he emptied our bank account? That's the barns. He would show us a need, man, and to meet that need, it would just empty the barn. And some of the greatest, I mean, the closest intimacy I have had where I felt his joy, driving home broke after depleting the funds, you know, giving it, to, you know, driving home because I sow the reward. Are you kidding? Oh, I felt his pleasure. I've felt His pleasure. He's going to take care of me. Can you tell we haven't starved? He takes care of us. You don't have to worry. And it's not wrong to have savings accounts and things like that, but that is not your source. And if He says, like that preacher, I hear that example again right now. He says, the Lord says, I want you to put $10,000 in that offering. And the preacher kind of, there's a lot of people there, so the preacher's kind of, time out. God, that's all I got. God says, that's all I asked for. I didn't ask you to go into debt. Well, He's done that with us I don't know how many times. And it's wonderful. You'll feel His pleasure. Obedience is better than sacrifice, I'm telling you. There's nothing like it. He says, well, your father feeds these birds. Are you not much better than they? Yes, you are. Which of you by taking... Now, I've really tried this. So you can tell I'm not real tall. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? I tried it. Tall thoughts. Trust me, it doesn't work. Why take you thought for raiment, clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And are we not to be productive citizens, toiling and spinning? Well, he says, the point is, yeah, we're to be productive. I mean, that's where the sinners are, is out there in the marketplace for crying out loud. But the point is, our spinning and our toiling is not our source. Never. You have to come to the place. Yes, sir. He said it again. I'm going to do it. Okay. It's either obey right now or I'm just going to start off in tongues, so I'll just obey. See, we read these and we think we know them. I had read these for years and years and years, and I thought I understood this, you know. I thought I knew the Father. Yes. I'm going to tell this story. It's my middle daughter, Angie. If she was sitting here, she'd amen. Angie and her husband was coming up to a job change. He had been working one job for quite a while. He knew he was going to be going to this other job. And the details might be slightly off here, but I think there was a 5-week from the time he got his last paycheck and then he starts this new job. I think there was a period of 5 weeks between paychecks. And so they saved up ahead of time. They saved up money. They figured out their budget. This is how much money we'll need. And they had made their bread. They had done everything that they knew to do to be ready. Has any of you ever done that? And, you know, there was more month left than there was paycheck. But they didn't quite make it. You know, Angie calls me one day and there's not enough money, you know, and she goes, Daddy. Now, this phrase is why I tell this story. It's so perfect. I said, Daddy, we were strong in faith while the money was there. And I've been there so many times. I said, honey, we're all strong in faith when the money's there. I'm always strong in faith when my body's healed. I'm always... Oh, yeah, I know the Lord. Yeah, it's not when everything's perfect. That's not when you find out if you know Him. It's when the resources stop or the pink slip comes or the doctor's report comes or whatever that report is. That's where you're going to find out if you know Him. See? With us, Sue and I thought I knew Him. You know, I prayed those prayers like you pray all the time. Oh, God, use me, use me, use me. And in this case, I was in the trucks and praying in other tongues. And that Pastor David plainly told me that if I'd just pray in other tongues a lot, I'd begin to hear the voice of the Holy Ghost and I'd start seeing visions and I'd find out what my calling was. And so I'm praying my little lips off in that truck, man, you know, and use me. And the essence of it is use me, God. Oh, use me, God. And so then that's great until He does. You're strong in faith until you hear Him say something that's bigger than you. Amen. Amen. And you go, what? Yeah, I want you to go full time. He told me, I can take you to the mile marker in Arkansas, right where He told me. To me, it was an audible voice. I don't know if you would have heard Him if you'd have been in the cab of the truck. But it wasn't difficult to understand. Here it is. I can still quote it all these years later. He said, this is your last trip as a truck driver. When you get back off of this trip, give your dispatcher 2 weeks' notice. He will not require it of you, and you'll be free to serve me full time. What part of that is hard to understand? I mean, did he stutter? I understood what he said. Gary, did you obey that? No, I didn't obey that. What's wrong with you? You think I'm stupid? No. And here I've been praying for like almost 2 years. I've been praying, oh God, use me. Oh God, I want to hear your voice. Oh God, I'm ready for... I don't know how many times I said, I'm ready for ministry. And the first instruction I get is, I'm not doing that. Well, why not? Fear. I didn't know him well enough. I mean, I'm going... My logical brain rose up, you know, and said, what about my car payment? And the silence was deafening. You can shandai till your lips fall off. But once you've heard his instruction, there's no point asking about step two until you have taken step one. Now, he continued to love me. I didn't obey him for... I mean, not just my car payment. I didn't know... We got rent to pay. My wife and kids have this eating habit. They want to eat every day. And Sue likes to eat more than once a day. Not me, but Sue. But you see who's the heavy one. Anyway. All of these thoughts going through my mind. Plus, what ministry? He didn't even tell me what I was going to be doing. I had no invitations. I had nothing. I felt like Abraham. Go into a land that I shall show you. How will I know when I get there? I will show you. My respect for Abraham went way up. But I didn't do it. My brain rose up. I did not know him well. And there's no other way to say it. It was just fear. Fear. I didn't know if he'd provide for me or not. Well, 10 months went by, and I got to shorten this down because we've got another place to go that's even more exciting than this. Luke 11 is way more exciting than this. But see, if you don't ever get past knowing him as your provider, you're not really you're not quite ready for prime time yet. You got to get to where you know him and trust him. And I mean where when it's real, where the rubber meets the road and it's not just theory. Well, I finally did. Long story short, 10 months later, I did obey him, stepped out. We had no means of support in that wonderful logical mind of mine, my educated mind, and it started thinking of all these ways that we would probably be provided for. I mean, this is the way everybody else did it. The first instruction we got was to have a little Bible study at our house, and my first thought was, okay, well, we can start receiving offerings there. Trouble is, next time I went to pray, take up no offerings from these people. Okay, well, all right. I'm getting ready for the first Bible study. He says, I want you to record every message. And at the time, I thought, Lord, you're too late. I don't have a recorder, you know. He said, yes, you do. It's in the closet. What? I had an old boom box, an old Panasonic about this big. I mean, so old, I forgot it was in the closet back in there. It says on the front of it, high-speed duplicating. Y'all remember those? You know, that means it's twice speed. So, you know, I could make a recording okay. Then to make duplicates, I could make a 90-minute tape in 45 minutes. That's how we started the ministry, okay? People started asking for tape copies. That's how we did it. But my logical mind. Oh, sure, of course. Yes, we're going to have this worldwide outreach. Well, everybody sells cassette tapes. No problem. We'll just sell our cassette. I got you, Lord. I see how it's going to be now. Next time I'm in prayer, give all the tapes away free. Oh, and by the way, I want you to pay the postage. Oh, and I'm adding the by the way. Oh, and don't include a return envelope. Every avenue my mind could think of. He wasn't really being mean to me. I kind of thought it at the time. No, he was getting me out where I have no choice. It's either learn who he is, learn who my provider is, or let's just go pack up and live back in the world. Now, my calling was to this. Not everybody's called to fivefold. Don't try and go out and imitate what we did, please. The only part I want you to imitate is pray in other tongues. That is where you get your instruction. Don't go out and try and imitate what he told me. I have to obey him. See, how you learn to follow him through a service, He brings things to you.
That's right.
My job is not to ignore those. My good friend Jimmy Miller was in Poland. Him and his wife, Deborah, they were missionaries there at the time. Well, he was hearing my testimony like you're hearing my testimony. And even though I say every time, don't imitate what we do, you pray and get your own instruction. He did. He imitated what we do. We go over there to visit them in 2003 and do some ministry over there. And I'd be honest, they're right on the edge of financial disaster. And I got to talking with him, and I found out he was imitating everything the Lord told me. See, one of the things the Lord told me was don't send out any appeal letters. Don't let anybody know what the needs are. I said, Jimmy, we're in the United States. We teach every week. We send out these cassette tapes every week. At least the Lord has a way of reminding people, oh yeah, Gary and Sue. And if they want to, they have an opportunity, a reminder to give. I mean, I see what the Lord's doing in hindsight. I saw what he's doing. I said, Jimmy, you're over here in Poland. Nobody hardly knows you're here. They don't know what you're doing. If they knew what you was doing, they'd go, good Lord, I'd like to be a part of that. And they might want to help. I said, you can't be over here trying to imitate what I'm doing there without getting your own instructions from the Lord. So he went, you know, in prayer, he found out it was okay to let people know. And he started letting people know what they were doing. That's just one example of 100 I could give you. You need to pray and find out what it is he wants you to do. My friend Jill there is a taxi driver. Are you still? Still taxi driver in Canada? That ministry, you talk about the possibilities for ministry that man has. But it is so totally different than what I do. He is going to have to hear from God, whether God keeps him in the taxi business. You don't care. If that's God's place for you, you don't care if you drive taxis till you die, do you? I don't either. I didn't care if I drove trucks, really, till I died. I just wanted his ministry. I wanted his ministry. I wanted what he wanted for me. Joe, he can't imitate what I did. He's going to have to pray and get God's mind for him. You got that? So the point is Matthew 6. You're going to have to get to know him. Yes, sir, I'm going to go ahead and say this. I don't think that's possible without your first steps of obedience. Prayer is wonderful. The Lord will love you and his presence will come. And worship is wonderful. Reading the word is wonderful. Listening to anointed messages is wonderful. But sooner or later, my brothers and sisters, you're going to hear from him yourself. Then you're going to have to start, one way or another, stepping out on the water. Sooner or later, he's going to say something for you to do that's bigger than you. Otherwise, why would you need him? And that's when you're going to start finding out. And it's okay. I didn't know him well enough. Hey, I look at mine and Sue's life, and if he's used us at, oh, by the way, Norway, hello. I never look at the giving unless the Lord tells me to. This morning when I got up, he was already saying, I want you to check something. This online giving that comes in, you know. I checked it this morning. We got an offering from Norway. I've never been to Norway. Are you kidding? You know, and they had put a little message and says, love the teaching. Hello from Norway. Hi, Norway. Glory to God. Wish you were here. Wish I was there. Isn't that great? I'm telling you, there's nothing like obedience. And it's scary at first until you get to know him. And that's the whole point of Matthew 6. So instead of me taking the next what time we have there, now let's go to Luke 11. Once you start graduating from fear, let me say fear, regarding your own provision, will he take care of you? You've got to have that because God thinks big. Things that seem very risky to us, they're not risky at all if you remember who your source is. Isn't that right? How can you fail when your source is God? But that doesn't mean the circumstances aren't scary. I've been on airplanes. You know, we talked a little bit about Lynn that time. They had a bumpy ride. I was on an airplane once going to California, and it was a clear day. I mean, there wasn't hardly a cloud in the sky. We're just sailing along fine. It was kind of a medium-sized jet, probably 100 or so people on it. We hit a pocket. You ever hit an air pocket? It's like stepping into an elevator shaft. And I mean, I don't know how many hundreds of feet we dropped, but that's just, all you heard on the plane was, you know, nobody, the crying came afterwards, and I was one of those. Oh, God. You know, once it leveled off and everything, you know. I know what that is. And I have been on lots of flights since I've known the Lord better, where my first response is white knuckle. Your first response, you know, bumpy. But then real quickly now at this stage, say, no, the safest plane to be on is the one I'm on. God is my source. I don't care if it takes 10,000 angels to hold this plane in the air till we land. And the worst that could happen, I'm going to have supper with the Lamb tonight. Pass me that pillow. I'm ready to go to sleep. You get to be that way. Matthew 6, as you live it, you become that kind of person. Now, then you're ready for Luke 11. Now, why were the disciples asking Jesus about this, about praying anyway? Well, wouldn't you? They'd watch him go off and spend all night in prayer, and they'd come back and they'd have these meetings, and the blind would see, and the lame would walk, the maimed would be made whole. Would you teach us how to pray? We notice you go pray, and then all this stuff happens. Would you teach us? Well, now in this passage, almost identically the same prayer, look specifically at verse 3. Give us day by day our daily bread. But now in this passage, this you can tell from the teaching, this has nothing to do with your daily bread. You've graduated from Matthew 6. You've trusted him now to be your provider. The bread you're after now is bread for others. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. But why do you want the bread? See, why? For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Now let's just talk for a moment. Why are they asking Jesus? Are they really asking about bread? They're wanting that power. They're seeing what happens when he prays. He'll go off, spend time with the Father, praying all night, praying, come back out, and bam, 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 power's happening. Blind eyes opening, everything, you know. And now we're talking about the love of God. But see, anyway, one thing at a time. Let's talk about the bread that they're after here. How are you delivering off of God's table to the blind? Lord, we see you delivering off of God's table to the maimed. Well, won't that be a day when the maimed are made whole? I looked that up one time. You know where Jesus said, if thy hand offend thee, cut it off? That's the same word for maimed. Maimed were made whole. What about when the cameras are running, just like this one's running now, but it's not just an internet camera. CBS, ABC, NBC, CNN, and the Fox News Network. And while the cameras are rolling, they bring in some fellow without a leg. And as we watch, that leg grows out. And it's broadcast around the world. We are headed for that level of revival. That is exactly where we're going. Or the cameras watch as we walk into St. Jude and then walk out with all the children healed. Gary, you're crazy. No. No, I have the mind of Christ. That is the mind of the Father, and that's exactly where we're going. How do you get the bread? Well, one of the main things, the main teaching in this, Do you know what determines whether you're going to have the bread or not? Bring those buckets back for a love offering of 1995. Huh? It's how you see your Father. That's it. Your relationship with Him, how much you know Him, how you perceive Him, has everything to do with your ability to deliver the bread. It's not really even up to the... Now, you're not going to like this part. It's not really even up to the Father. The Father is withholding no good thing from us. Jesus paid for it all already. Now watch this. He's asking a question. Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. One time I was meditating this, and again the Holy Spirit asked me a question. I remind you again, when God the Holy Ghost asks you a question, He's not looking for information. Okay, but He asked me, He says, Gary, you have any friends like that? Friends. And I got to thinking, in the natural, I don't have any friends like that. I mean, I don't care if it is midnight, if it's a friend. I got to thinking, I don't even think I have any acquaintances like that. My next door neighbor is really not my best friend. I mean, we know each other. Hey, Sam, how you, Gary, how you doing? But even at midnight, if I was to wake them up, and they're not close friends, I said, man, I've got an emergency. Can you give me $20 or could I have some bread? He may not be real happy about it, but even my acquaintances, they're going to give me what I need. And Jesus goes one step further here. He says, now maybe it's not a friend at all. He says, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he's a friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needed. That's almost like saying, he'll just give it to get rid of you. He's giving it to you just because you asked. In other words, you're going to get it. You're still going to get it, even though he's not happy about it. He's going to give it to you, even if he's not your friend. He's going, which of you has a friend like that? I don't have any friends like that. All of my friends would give it to me, even if they weren't happy. And what he's doing, he's drawing a contrast. He says, if you could get that from fallen, earthly creatures, and you could receive bread from them, don't you understand who your Father is? And how eager he is to give you the bread that his Son has already died for, to provide that bread. He says, your whole attitude has got to change. We have this attitude like he's withholding and restraining, and why would he give the bread to you to give to others? And Jesus is teaching the exact opposite. Look what he says. I say unto you, ask. There's not any stronger language he can use. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Everyone that asks receiveth. We don't believe that. We read that verse like this. Everyone that's worthy receives. That's not what he said. Everyone that asks receives. He that seeks, find. To him that knocks, it shall be opened. He said, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? If he ask for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Now, it's the young lady sitting right back here. We used that verse yesterday to help her understand that if she asks the Father for the Holy Spirit, he's going to give her the Holy Spirit, in that case, in order to speak with other tongues. But what he's really talking about here, why does he mention the Holy Spirit here? We were asking for bread. You ready for this? The Holy Spirit is the bread manifester. He is the molecule changer. He is the same one that came down like a dove and anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And from that point on, Jesus and the Holy Spirit, they went about doing good, healing all that are oppressed of the devil. And that's the same bread we're supposed to be delivering. Let us watch it like this. This is the way I saw it in my spirit. I need someone to represent the Holy Ghost. Now, to you aspiring preachers, let me just tell you, when you're preaching in another man's church, always make the pastor the Holy Ghost. Okay, I need that chair. Do we have that chair that's been out here? Somebody bring me the chair. And I've been in prayer on it. Just set it right there. That'd be great. Turn it this way. Thank you very much. All right. So we're going back many years ago, and I was learning these things, and I'm praying, I'm asking God for the bread, and I understood finally the bread is not what I need. The Holy Ghost is what I need. That's what he said. He said, if you want the bread, you got to have the Holy Ghost. It's that same Holy Ghost that descended on Jesus. Jesus couldn't deliver the bread either. Jesus the man, now don't throw rocks at me. He laid down his divinity. Without the Holy Ghost, he couldn't deliver the bread either. But with the Holy Ghost, he could. So, Jim, I've been asking the Father, and he says, okay, I'm going to give you the Holy Ghost. And from this point on, everywhere I go, and I stand right over here, everywhere I go, the Holy Ghost goes with me. Trouble is, am I aware he's with me? Am I in communication? You know, he's got a voice. Am I in communication with him? Is he? You know, he's there to always bring me the mind of the Father. Let me tell you about one of the early days. Would you come help me just for a minute? Yes. I don't want to scare you, but it'd be okay. You don't have to say a word. I just want you to sit in this chair just for a moment. All right? One day after service, now this was a calling in the law service that I was doing. This was quite a few years ago, and I had never done this before. You know, after the service, this lady came up and needed prayer. And I said, well, what's wrong? She said, well, I've got a lot of pain in my back. Well, how many of y'all have seen Pastor Dave put him in a chair? First thing I did, I started looking around. Now, this was a night service. I'm looking for Dave, Tim, anybody. There's me and about 12 people there. I'm going, oh, God, oh, God. Mark wasn't there yet. Debbie wasn't there yet. This was a long time ago, you know. Oh, God, I'm going to have to pray. So I just did what I seen Pastor Dave do. And I said, would you sit right here? And she said, yes. And I got down on one knee. And she, give me your ankles, please. She gave me her ankles. Hers are nice and straight. See, she's in good shape here. That lady, she put her ankles out. And I mean, well, she put her whole feet out, not just the ankles. But she put her feet. One was like an inch and a half to 2 inches shorter than the other. And I'm going, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. You know, but I'm trying to act real cool like I know what I'm doing. I don't want her. I'm trying to build her faith, not destroy it, you know. So I said, well, Father, in the name of Jesus. Probably something like that. And I had my eyes closed because I was afraid. And I felt that short ankle slide across my palm. I looked, and she looked. Her eyes were wide, my eyes were wide. And I went, did you do that? She said, no. She said, did you? I said, no. And I said, there's somebody else here. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Listen, okay, that's good, I think. You can take that back. Listen, when that sort of thing begins to happen, your confidence begins to go up. It is not you. It is the Holy Ghost. What He's asking us for is to spend time with our Father to understand. He is more eager to manifest the bread than we are to have it manifested. We're talking about God, the Holy Ghost. Come back again. Jim, I think, is a great representative. Clean cut, good looking, chiseled. Also a lifter. Also a lifter. But God the Holy Ghost, as beautiful as Jim is, all power, light be, and the Holy Ghost goes. Light is. He is the molecule changer. Everywhere. When Jesus would go about, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay. Thank you, Sue. Hey, I'm trying to do the same thing we're teaching as I hear, so I make a decision. We're in Luke 11, right? Yes, we're in Luke 11. It's amazing how the Lord knows the Bible. Look what happens. The very next thing, Jesus demonstrates what He just said. Look at verse 14. He was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. Doesn't mean it was stupid. But it couldn't speak. This was one of those devils that actually affects the voice box somehow. Couldn't speak. Now here's somebody that needs bread. They need deliverance. Can't talk. It came to pass when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake and the people wondered. But some of them said, he casts out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And others, tempting him, sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their hearts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. A house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub, and if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. Now we did all that to get to verse 20. But if I, with the finger of God, how's he casting out that devil? Is he doing it himself? If I, with the finger of God, hold your place right there. Go back. Go to Matthew 12. The same event, Matthew records it slightly, give us a little more detail. Matthew 12, look at verse 28. Same event. But here he says, but if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, I want you to know the Spirit of God is the finger of God. He is the one that co-labors with you. If you'll go to those face-to-face documents, there's some of them there where he teaches in fine detail that we, as the body of Christ on earth, we are the agents of authority. The Holy Spirit, you notice he's not going to St. Jude's without us. Do you notice that? We are the agents of authority. Why? We are the body. We are the physical body of Christ on planet earth. When we're walking with his mind in this body, that Holy Spirit is as much with us as he was with him. We are him. Remember the illustration of the hand? John 17, 10, 9 and 10. Does he thank that servant because he obeyed him? And I went, that was so... No, you don't. But I thought that was strange. And the Holy Spirit asked me that question. When was the last time you thanked your hand for obeying your mind? I said, well, Lord, I don't thank my hand for obeying my mind. My hand is just part of me. And I began to get it. He says, son, I don't see you as separate from me. You are my body. You're my hand. You're my feet. You're my eyes. Son, he says, I have no hands to lay on the sick except yours. I have no mouth to speak the word of God except yours. And the Holy Spirit, his purpose there has not changed from his purpose with me. To go about doing good and healing all that are oppressed of the devil. For God is with him. God who? God the Holy Ghost. Everywhere we go. Now at the end of this conference, your boldness needs to rise up a little bit. We've talked a lot about speaking in other tongues. We've talked about worshiping God. We've talked about meditating the Word some. We've talked about all these things. Your accountability factor is going up. You're going to start hearing God yourself. He's going to purposely put you in spots where you need to believe Him. And if you fail, don't listen to the devil's lie. You're still God's favorite. Amen. Trust me. Gary, how do you know that? Trust me. I know that in spades. He loves me. I fall 10 more times, he loves me. I fall 15 more times, Lord, I mean fail to obey him. But grudgingly, slowly, haltingly, stumblingly, is that okay? Little more, learn to walk with him. Just say, Father, I'm sorry, give me another chance, and he will. But when you do hear his voice, have the boldness to believe the bread manifester is with you. That bread manifester is with you. And let us deliver the bread to this lost world that God loves so much. Amen? Did you get anything out of that? Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. No, got one more thing. I'm sorry. I have to obey him. I want to show you one more thing. Then I promise. I'll really let you go. Go to Luke chapter 1. There are two promises given to two people here. They're delivered. You could call it the Word of God is delivered. Hand delivered. Do y'all think you would obey God if the angel Gabriel walked through the wall and came up to you and says, I've been sent from God with a message for you? You think that'd be enough? Most of us would go, I know for sure that's God. Well, Gabriel, it's the same angel, two different people here he appears to, and he brings literally the Word of God. One of them is Zacharias, who is the father of John, who will be the father of John the Baptist. The other is Mary. Now I'm going to talk about Mary first because the King James is a little blind. You have to look at it a little bit in the Greek to really understand the difference. Both of them asked the angel a question. Mary's question basically was, well, how could this happen? You know, she was told she's going to conceive a son. How can this happen since I haven't been with a man? And so the angel, that didn't bother him. He just told her that. The Holy Ghost, the power of the highest, will overshadow thee. And she just said her attitude was, be it unto me according to thy word. Zacharias, however. All right, now, Let me back up here. We don't have enough time to do the whole thing like I like to do it, so let's do it this way. After the angel tells Zacharias that him and his wife in their old age are going to have this child, look at what Zacharias says to the angel, talking about John the Baptist. Look at verse 18. Zacharias said unto the angel, he doesn't say, how will this happen? He says, whereby shall I know this? Now that's King James. What he's really saying is, how do I know you're telling me the truth? You can tell by the angel's response. He says, whereby shall I know this? For I'm an old man and my wife well stricken in years. Notice how the angel responds. I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these good tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed. Why? Because thou believest not my words. Now, let me just ask you, was it important to the plan of God that John the Baptist be born? Absolutely. This has got to happen. If you don't think your words affect your miracle, is Gabriel going to have to come and shut your mouth? Is he going to have to come and shut your mouth? What are you saying? Mary says, be it unto me according to thy word. Zechariah says, how I know you telling me the truth? The angel goes, this is not going to work. Angels understand how the word of God works. When God changed Abram's name to Abraham, he obeyed. He wouldn't say nothing else except what God said. Every time he said, I am the father of a multitude, he was saying what God said. You know what Zacharias would have been doing? I'm not sure if it was an angel. I don't know if it was an angel or not. He said crazy stuff. I don't know if we're going to have... Those words would have nullified the miracle. That's not in your Bible for no reason. I mean, watch what you say. I'm going to give you this last prayer. Say this with me. Father, help me set a watch upon my lips that my words do not hinder your will in the earth. Father, I hope Gabriel never has to shut my mouth. Set a watch upon my lips that everything I say agrees with your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.